the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long, I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. We make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. But we grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wooden old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land.
skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
goddamn is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, you're listening to Mad Science with Shaziz, and I got Raymond in here and Thomas in here, and I hope to have a really good discussion about a whole lot of stuff there. We were just hollering about infrastructures and pipes over the break while we were waiting to come in there. I hear something going on. No biggie, we'll get past all that. Anyway, I posted a few links over there in the chat room over there of a couple of little videos that I think is worth checking out. One of them, I think he pronounces his deal Ludic Science or something like that. He does some really good, really simple explain projects on there. This little particular project here, he used a 9-volt battery and a heat sink and a transistor and resistor and a potentiometer and a switch to make a kind of a little variable power supply. And, you know, while that might not sound like a major deal, it could be used for a whole lot of purposes in there. It's just all about being creative. And the next thing, next two videos I put in there were by the same individual. One, he's running a ion generator or an ion motor off of a high voltage doubler, and he's also in the second video running it off of a Van de Graaff generator, where essentially you're getting work out of high voltage. And then the last video that I put in was my own personal video, Free Thinkers 4. And, hey, can one of y'all mute your mic on that side for a second?
Probably.
Yeah, it sounds like we're in a tunnel.
That's bad. Was that what you were talking about hearing earlier?
Yeah, that's what I was hearing. Okay. It sounds like I'm talking down a sewer pipe. You know? Well, that's part of the infrastructure that we can work with. Anyway, Free Thinkers 4, I hope y'all check out that video series of Free Thinkers. It's a pretty, it's going to have a pretty profound ending on the whole deal, but either way, what it's, the simple of the whole deal is that if you can take and repurpose junk, and even this junk being as inefficient as it is, and get it to do what it is that you want it to do, one can only imagine what you could do with the access to, let's say, a good machine shop with precision and all that kind of stuff. If you've looked at my videos in the past and seen all the different things that I've done in my lab and stuff, everything that I've done in my lab has been done with recycled junk, repurposed junk. You know, my grandfather used to say one man's junk is another man's treasure. And there's a whole lot to that, man. I mean, I'll see somebody throw something away that I know there's good parts up inside there, you know, just old TVs, microwaves, or whatever, you know, old electric motors and permanent magnet motors, AC motors, or whatever. They're all usable, reusable. And the whole thing is not just about the search for free energy. It's also the search for being self-contained, self-sufficient, or self-reliant, whichever word you want to use on that deal. It's so, you know, worst case scenario, you could still keep some lights on and charge some batteries for communication and some cooling and stuff. And what we hope to bring to the table here is, you know, some ideas on how you can do things such as air conditioning. I was joking about on the break before the show there. I told Raymond, I said, everything, I've heard everything's bigger in Texas. And then I told Thomas that Raymond's air conditioner was the size of a double wide trailer. Is it that big, Raymond? He's going to have to unmute his mic. You still there, brother?
It's pretty good size.
Yeah, we can hear it. I mean, it's in the background. I don't know what the deal is.
Well, 2 weeks ago, I found a couple of homeless people living in it, and I had to run them off.
Yeah, and I've seen them Texas fly swatters, so, you know, if the fly swatter's any indication of what the flies look like around there, I'm afraid those might carry off, you know, at the very least, some small children or something like that. So, you guys have that problem down there?
Kind of, sort of. Most of my neighbors use a shotgun. They don't use a fly swatter.
Oh, I tell you what, I saw a big old giant horse fly over here, man, and I know those things, they bite, man, they draw blood. So if they're any bigger than that, I don't know if I want to show up in Texas.
I'll tell you what, I was riding my motorcycle a couple years back down a country road, and I passed by some cattle, and I didn't have my face guard down, and a horse fly hit me in the mouth and knocked one of my front teeth out.
Oh my God, that's... Oh, that hurts just thinking about it.
Yeah, it almost knocked me off the damn bike. Excuse my French.
Well, I can understand that, man. Anyway, on this whole repurposing thing, you know, the video series Free Thinkers, I'm looking for individuals out there that think so far outside the box, and I don't even care that I get, you know, some really wild out of their comments, as long as they're not rude. But those are the ones I'm looking for. I'm looking for the folks that see something different than the average Joe sees, if you understand what I'm saying. I'm looking for those folks that look past, you know, just any object. You know, if you take, for example, any permanent magnet motor out there, you know, a electric treadmill has a, I think it's either 24 or 30 volt permanent magnet motor in there that can, right out of the gate, you don't even have to do nothing to it outside to put a propeller or wind turbine on there, and you got a generator source right out of the gate. And so, you know, with that said, that's one of the things that would be good to know in survival. You know, if worst case scenario, power grid goes down, you got a treadmill out there, you're not going to be able to run the treadmill anyway. Or heck, just put your kids on that treadmill and give them a bunch of cookies and, you know, charge your phone up so you can call for help. What do you guys think?
That's a great idea, man. That sounds great. Turn it into a game. Kids play forever if it's a game.
Yeah. It's like,
you need to run on this treadmill, charge up my cell phone so I can call for help. That's not a game to a kid. They're not going to do that. They're going to do it for 2 or 3 minutes. But you make it into a game, like, all right, which one of you can last the longest now? It's not how fast you go, it's how long you can go. You know? Turn it into a game.
Now, what you should do is put them and their brother on the treadmill at the same time and say, catch your brother.
Hang a banana in front of them.
Yeah. Anyway.
You know, many years ago, when I was married, my first wife, and we had three kids, and about once or twice a month in the summertime, we'd go down to George Washington Canal, and we had this one spot that we really liked. It was a good picnic area. There was no picnic table or anything there. But anyway, other people were using it too, and it was getting all messed up. So I wanted to clean it up, and I didn't want to tell the kid, well, let's clean this place up. I just said, hey, I tell you what, we got a lot of trash around here, and I don't like the way it looks. I tell you what, whoever gets the most paper, not just anything, it's got to be paper trash. Whoever gets the biggest pile of trash gets 50 cents, the second biggest gets a quarter, and the last one gets 10 cents. Boy, they took off running. Next thing you know, all the paper was picked up. So I passed that one. I said, all right, now we're going to do plastic. Anything plastic. And then we went to metal. And until finally, I mean, at the end of the day, the entire place, and it was large, very large, 5, 4, 5, 6 acres. And a lot of people were using it and just leaving trash everywhere. And we cleaned it up, and the kids had a ball. They enjoyed it. It was not work. I mean, you know, you turn it into a game, and kids will last forever.
Yeah, well, if we could get adults to have that same mentality, you know, whistle while you work kind of thing. But anyway, you know, there's a lot of really cool stuff that people throw away all the time, you know, and basically, what I'm trying to show with all that stuff is not only the fact that you can repurpose it, but that there's something else going on there with the energy. You know, we look at like the bird thing that you were talking about doing, how that thing functions, you know, and how all these other different alternative energy devices function. And I'm trying to point out to people that instead of putting all your eggs in one basket, take all these anomalies and run them in conjunction with one another to assist each other. You see what I'm saying?
I see exactly what you're saying. I mean, you know, it's put a bunch of things together. It's called plug and play. I mean, they're gone.
Well,
it's so easy.
Like the, you know, the old pop boat that we talked about sometime, you know, scaling that up to a full size version is perfectly plausible. All these things, you know, anything that can be made on a small scale could be scaled up or scaled down. But could you imagine a solid-state boat motor that not only because of the material you made it out of, you know that stainless steel doesn't, you know, rust like regular steel does. So you can actually build a tubing system that would heat up, you know, using whatever type of fuel that you wanted to use, and potentially even solar for that matter. Of course, now the sun wouldn't heat it up, obviously, on an overcast day, and so instead of just having the one method to heat that water up, you would have a second method, such as, you know, like a propane fuel or whatever, you know. You see where I'm coming from? So that you got a backup for a backup?
I see exactly what you're coming from, where you're coming from. I mean, it's all plausible. Like you said, anything can be scaled up or down. The thing is, with the drinking word, scaling it up is not height. Scaling it up makes it work run slower with more power. But if you scale it wide, not up, you know what I'm saying? Make it big.
Yeah.
Tall. It'll work a lot faster, less power.
Well, there's things to factor. There's things to factor in there. You know, instead of maybe just having one tube in that bird, maybe you could have a multiple tubes in there, like a stack of maybe an eighth inch copper tubing or something for the, you know, you see for the pressure difference inside there, so you don't have a big open volume that you have to heat up or something like that.
Well, the big old round head of the bird being a round head, that's okay for a toy, but make it out of a, then change it. If you're going to use it to make power, then you want it to run faster. So don't use a round ball for a head. Use a cooling coil from a air conditioner or something, an old air conditioner.
Yeah.
Like you said, John, take one man's trash, another man's treasure. I mean, I built the one that I built was 9 feet high, and that's where I learned that I made a mistake by making it so tall. It runs slower, a lot slower. And I used Freon tanks. The big ones, the 30-pound tanks that the professional air conditioning men use.
Yeah.
And anyway, it dawned on me that if I make it shorter, it would run faster, so I have to make it fat. In other words, I need a bigger tank at the bottom and air conditioning coils at the top. And then my tank, drill a hole through it, put pipe in, and that way I drop in little chunks of charcoal and really make it run fast.
Cool.
And a lot of power.
Well, basically what it shows is that, you know, even if you have to kind of slightly modify it because of volume or mass or whatever like that, you can still get it to function just like it does at the bottom.
Yeah, my 9-foot bird worked. It worked great, but it was like a minute and a half between swings.
Yeah.
Because it's so tall and it had to push so much liquid up so high before it got off balance and came down. But, buddy, when it came down with a vengeance.
Well, there's a lot of torque there. So, you know, even that right there, I mean, you could make a pumping well like that. You know, it doesn't have to pump, you know, super fast if you're filling up a large tank or something like that. Just, you know, use the tank for the pressure portion of it. You see what I mean?
It's a heat engine. It's a motor. It will do anything. It will pump water. It'll pump air. It'll make electricity. It's a motor. I mean, it's a source of power to turn something, a pump, an air compressor, a dynamo, a generator, whatever. I mean, you got it as a motor, period. And any motor, you can tweak it out. By tweaking it out, I mean, okay, you take a gasoline engine, and guess what? If you modify it slightly, you can run it on air pressure. You can run it on steam.
Yeah.
Anything. I mean, you know, it's a motor.
And so, if people think about all the motions that are going on outside any given day, you know, it's either the wind's going or the sun's out, you know, even cold. There's a few videos out there that talk about extracting energy from cold, such as, you know, when, you know, heat expands and cold contracts. Now, we know that piezoelectrics, whenever they are under pressure, they'll produce electricity. So why couldn't you use the contraction of the cold to, you know, put a little bit of juice in there, if you see where I'm coming from?
Hey, here's a thought. For almost 100 years now, there's been a coal field buried in Pennsylvania that's been burning. They cannot put it out. They don't know how to put it out. Well, back during the Second World War, Hitler's scientists devised a method. They got short on crude oil. They devised a method where they could dig a tunnel through a vein of coal, seal the ends, have two ends, right? And they would seal both ends, force superheated steam into this burning coal. They set it on fire. And the black ooze would come out at the low end, and they could actually process it exactly the same way you do crude oil, and they actually made their own fuel, diesel fuel and gasoline for their war effort by burning coal underground at Fort. Pennsylvania's got a field that's been burning for almost 100 years, and nobody's even thought about putting steam down there?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Turn a negative into a positive there. I mean, heck yeah, you could use that to heat up steam, or even use the heat pressure for like a Stirling engine kind of deal, you know? I mean, right. If they can't put it out anyway, why not tap into it and use it while it's, you know, it is burning or whatever?
Exactly.
So, you know, those are the kind of ideas that I like to hear, and that's what the whole Free Thinkers series is all about, is actually, you know, thinking outside the box. I mean, there's so many volcanic vents around this world. There's an unlimited amount of free energy right there in that just alone. And yeah. there's tons of other things going on at the same exact time. You know, if it's
a lot of coal, when it burns, gives off a sulfuric acid. In fact, there's been whole communities in Pennsylvania that's had to been their ghost towns that have been abandoned because of the sulfuric acid in the air. And the thing is, in the wintertime, Pennsylvania gets cold. Why couldn't they drill some holes and pump some water through there in pipes and like a radiator system and use the heat to heat houses? I mean, come on, man. There's so many things that could be done, but it, like you said, it's a negative. Turn it into a positive. You can turn almost any negative into a positive if you think enough.
Well, let's ask our chemist guy there, Thomas. What can you do with sulfuric acid?
You can collect it and control it, then you can basically do all kinds of stuff with it. I mean, they use it for making paper and enriching materials to...
Can you come a little closer to your mic?
Is this a little bit closer?
Yeah, that's
closer?
Better. Sorry.
I don't want to repeat myself, so I'll just say that if it's treated properly, it could even be used to add sulfur to your crops, because, you know, plants need sulfur too. So it could be used for fertilizer. I mean, there's all kinds of things it could be used for.
Well, see, there you go, man. There's a positive out of a negative. And this is what I've been trying to say forever and a day. I mean, right now...
Hold on. The first thing, though, I did say, and I guess I should repeat, is if you can contain it. If you've got a lot coming out there and you can't do anything to contain it, it's like maybe over a spread over area and there's no way to collect it all up, you don't want that on you. I mean, the people going in there to do any work in that area would have to be going in with... respirator systems and in complete enclosed outfits to keep any air from there to getting on their skin, because it'll just cut right through them.
Thomas, that's why there's so many ghost towns up there, because the acid in the air was so strong, and it was burning people's lungs and everything, and they had to get out for health reasons.
Well, what happens? What happens if you had a method by which you could actually, from the air, where it's perfectly safe or whatever, start layering it down with sand, and then have a method by which you could actually heat that sand into glass? Would that contain it and guide it to a certain direction or what?
If you're talking about burning coal fields, you're talking about an unknown quantity, because they don't know how much coal is actually down there.
Right,
or how much how far it's going to go before it cuts out.
Well, I guess
that would be the main reason they wouldn't invest any infrastructure into turning that into heat for like heating homes or something like that. because at some point that's going to cut out most likely, and then they're going to have all that, all the resources and time tied into building the infrastructure, and it's just laying there going to waste now because the coal's not burning anymore.
You're right about that.
So things like volcanoes and whatnot are still unknown quantities, but they're less unknown than something like you just mentioned there.
Yeah.
So,
well, there's got to be some way to find the actual source of where that that's actually coming out, and either vacuum it into a glass container or some way to contain it. Either way, I think where there's a will, there's a way. It just depends on how bad you want to use the land, I guess.
It's kind of a little bit of a gamble investing in the infrastructure to even set up a coal mine itself, you know, spending money on the rails and timber and, you know, the labor to lay it all down so you can get in and out of there efficiently to get that coal out.
Right.
So, well, I mean, everything is pretty much a gamble. I mean, we've got better technology now for cutting down the odds and making it, you know, less of a gamble, but you're still dealing with gambles.
Even at that, we don't even need coal. We don't even need oil, for that matter. We don't even need natural gas. There's so many other methods that you can use. I mean, hydrogen production, for example, whenever you burn hydrogen, you end up with water on the other end. And so you could kill two birds with one stone if you did this right. You could use the hydrogen to run your generators, use the exhaust to create the, you know, turn it back into water on the opposite side. So, you know, in that process, you really haven't lost anything.
You know, it doesn't rain, and there's very few clouds in the state of Arizona. 85% of the state of Arizona is government property. 25% of the state of Arizona, if you were to flood it with water and grow algae, would produce enough algae oil, vegetable oil, to drive every tractor, trailer, truck in the United States for a year. One quarter. Just 25% of the state of Arizona. The state of North Dakota has enough wind power to generate, if we had enough windmills up there, to generate all the electricity the United States could possibly use for the next 100 years.
When you're talking about windmills, there are methods by which you can use, you know, there's the helix blade out there, more efficient, works in less wind. There's the turbine out there. You could literally build systems that you could hide in hills, for that matter. You wouldn't even see it, and it would be generating. But there's ways, methods by which you can make them so much more efficient. I mean, Muddy's actual flux wind turbine, it's more efficient than a regular windmill, wouldn't you think?
Yes, it is. It really is. The thing is, I've only seen one video of one man that actually compounded the Muddy's dual axial flux wind turbine. The thing is, he was like me. I had the idea, but then I saw this guy had the same idea. A magnet has two sides. A copper coil has two sides. The way Muddy does, he takes two magnets and runs it across both sides of a copper coil. My idea is to take and put another set of coils, another magnet, another set of coils, another magnet, another set of coils, compound the daggone thing over and over and over again.
Yeah, and that would be, like, incredibly efficient.
It's very, and it goes along with what you're talking about, because the more coils and the more magnets you have, if you're trying to produce amperage, then you're going to have a lot of power to turn it. But if you use really small wire, lots of turns, and go for voltage, not amperage, like you want to do, you could actually build one in 3 or 4 days that would put out anywhere from 5, 6, 8, 10,000 volts, and a child could turn it.
Yeah, and there's, you know, like I said, there are so many methods out there. I mean, the wind in itself, if you live in a super windy area, you know, you got the perfect deal. Like, one of the things that I'm having problems with down here is part of my project relies on a little bit of wind once in a while. Of course, it's not 100% reliant on the wind. It's got other factors in there. But either way, if it's windy or in heck where you're at all the time, then that's a perfect place for one. If it's lightning and out, there's another perfect place. And like you said, high voltage is really super simple to make, you know?
It is.
And so, with that said, if you start off with high voltage, and that's why I like these ion drive motors. They're just little spinners that this one guy's got in these two videos here. But you can see that there's two separate frequencies going on there. One is a static charge, and the other one is a charge that's a little bit more substantial using a voltage doubler system. And you can tell the difference in the power of the arc. But either way, both of these frequencies are causing this thing to turn. You're building an ion wind up in behind there. That idea in itself could be expanded on to where you actually have built a generator or electric motor that would work off of high voltage alone, because there's a pressure built up in high voltage, and anytime you got pressure, you can get work done. So you don't need all the current watts and amps to a certain point, you know, until you're starting to run the inefficient junk that you're accustomed to running. You don't need all that, but there's a way to take that static charge. Lid Motor's done it, I've done it, and multiple other people's done it. Brimstar.org's done it. You can take that high voltage static discharge and charge up capacitors, and then turn around and get physical work out of it afterwards. These two videos that I'm talking about that I posted in at the Wake Radio chat room and the Shaziz Radio chat room, they're actually getting work out of it. Now, keep in mind, we're not talking about a whole lot of torque going on in this little gizmo, but that's all right. You don't need that at this moment. But I've seen the ones that Laser Saber's done and Rimstar.org's done and a couple of others out there who have made atmospheric motors that really seriously do have torque. Jeremy Gwilt, I think it is, on his YouTube channel. He's got a really nice static motor, or whatever. The point is, if you design these things properly, man, you could do multiple things out of one little simple idea. Such as, imagine if you had that same motor multiplied instead of just having one rotor on it, you maybe have 100 rotors. That's inside of an argon-filled vacuum that you're not only got rotation going on, but you're building up plasma at the same sense. You see where I'm coming from?
Yep.
So there's all kinds of potential in even the simplest ideas, and that's what this whole Free Thinkers deal is all about, is to look past what you're looking at and find an alternative use. I mean, it's fascinating that with all the other things that goes on out there, people find alternative uses for old Pepsi bottles or whatever, like making a mosquito trap out of it. Whatever. It was designed to be a bottle. But somebody was brilliant enough to say, look, I'll turn this bottle into a mosquito trap and, basically get rid of mosquitoes. And to me, that's what I'm looking for. Those are the kind of folks that I'm trying to find out there to bring them to the table. I'd like to see a whole lot of people building their own little mad science lab. Yeah, I mean, I wish we had mad science labs in every garage, where everybody's testing old stuff to see what else they can get it to do. Turning an old water pump into a generator, or old permanent magnet motor into a windmill, and so on and so forth. That's what I'm talking about. What do you think?
I love it. I love your idea. I really do. In fact, you were talking about taking bottles and turn them into mosquito traps. So I was watching a couple of videos, but some guys were taking 5-gallon buckets and making rat traps out of them, just simply by drilling a hole through the side of the bucket at the top, and then taking a round can or bottle or whatever and putting a wire through it, and let it would turn. and then just bait it with whatever whatever draws in whatever you're trying to catch. For example, they will build a rat trap so they use peanut butter. Cheap peanut butter smells to high heaven. Rats love it. They go up, they put a board up on the thing, like 2x4 or 2x6. So they got a runway to get up there. They get up to the edge, they reach over, try to get the peanut butter. The bottle turns, or the can turns, they lose their balance and fall into the bucket.
Well, you know, rats are pretty doggone destructive, so are mice. So,
yes, they are.
You know, they say if you build a better mouse trap. But either way, you know, like I said, this Pre-Thinker series is about thinking way past what you would normally see of your average junk. And I'm actually, I got something really brilliant going on here, and I'm really loving every minute of it. Now, I'm not sure exactly how many videos is actually going to end up being in this Pre-Thinker series, but what I'm enjoying the most about the whole deal is that the interaction between me and my subscribers out there and the ideas that are coming in, I can tell that these people's minds are thinking outside the box, are giving me all kinds of really good suggestions and ideas and stuff. And that's kind of what we need going on. Thomas is always talking about networking with individuals out there. I mean, what better network could you get than a bunch of brilliant individuals talking about, you know, what they've seen in a video and coming across with new ideas and, you know, what they would do with something like that, you know, or what they would add or take away to the system. Troubleshooting, real time, building a project with brilliant individuals from all over the globe. And this is the way that you get stuff done, you know. I mean, it's blatantly obvious that the system out there, fracking, for example, you know, there's a lot of damage being done by fracking, trying to get natural gas deposits or oil out of the ground, and it actually causes earthquakes whenever you crack the ground up. I mean, it's common sense. You bust the ground underneath there, you take the hydraulic pressure out, you're going to end up having sinkholes around where you didn't have them before. You're going to cause some problems and potentially pollute the only water supplies that you got. Now, can that water be cleaned up? Yeah, sure it can. But if you don't have the infrastructure in place before you damage the water, then, you know, it's like that. So, you know, thinking ahead of time, common sense, and if, like I said, if the energy industry out there really cared about this world and the environment and stuff, first off, they wouldn't be going through all the expense to put up all these fracking wells all over the place and, you know, just damaging people's property outside anything you can imagine.
I was going to say, why did they ban it from where they start? From, you know, the town, the township and whatnot, where the guy that basically came up with the idea lives?
Because it probably was tearing up the town and they didn't like him too much.
Or maybe they did it before they even started doing any fracking there because he knew how bad it was going to be.
Yeah.
He didn't want to have to put up with whatever he's making everybody else put up with.
Well,
just stick to fracking in California, man. They're used to the shimmying and shaking.
Well, thankfully, a court came down with a ruling that said the average Joe can sue the industry if there's an earthquake. So hopefully that'll stick. But
they're also coming up with rulings where they want to basically make it so that a fracking company can sue a community that blocks them from fracking in their community to get those resources. They can sue them for their losses of value that they didn't get to extract from the ground.
So, here you go, folks. You look at this whole picture, the big picture. Step way back and look at the big picture. You got oil industries out there that have the potential of spilling crude oil in the ocean, which has been done on several occasions so far. That same oil industry will put chemicals into the water that it says right there breaks down oil, all right? Well, if it breaks down oil, then what's going to happen to the fish and the starfish and all the wildlife that's in the ocean that have oil in their body? It's obviously going to have
an adverse effect. If you start pushing against these people, though, they're going to say that the chemical is basically consumed by the oil, and they calculate how much to put in to make sure they don't consume anything more than the oil.
Right.
Well, from what I've seen, their calculations stink.
These are the same people that came up with that Trans-Pacific thing where basically now Monsanto can sue America for not buying its pesticides and poisons.
Well,
for
there
not
you
buying
go.
Its GMOs.
There you go. I mean, it's that's just in the oil industry. In the electrical industry, there's all kinds of damage being done there. I mean, they got to either use coal to do it or they got to use nuclear. And in the nuclear industry,
the solution to this problem is that people have to stop thinking that they are ineffective, that they have no power because they're just one lonely little person, and start thinking, I am one person, and I know there are other people out there that are also one person, and if we get together, we're not one person anymore, we're many people.
Yeah, prime example of what you're talking about is, first off, the word that they come down to talking about reducing your carbon footprint and turning off the lights and so on and so forth.
They tell you reduce your carbon footprint, but by God, if you try to get off the grid, they'll come along and yank your kids out of the house and say you're abusing them.
Yeah.
So
I'm saying do it. If you're going to do it like this, if you want to stick it to the electric companies, all them, start making your house deliberately so efficient that your bill, number one, drops down. And number two, start working in alternative energy sources. You know, if you got a little windmill outside and it ain't functioning all the time because it's not always windy out there, but the time that it is functioning, charging batteries, when that battery's fully charged up, use those lights as much as you possibly can until you run that battery down and save off of the actual grid. So you're still connected to the grid, so they can't come over and jackboot you until they figure out a way to get you for trying to, you know, be chintzy or something like that.
Collecting sunlight.
Yeah.
You're collecting the sun, man. That's ours, man. You got to pay us taxes on that. Got to pay a fee.
That ought to be your first red flag there. The fact they want to tax your breath. They want to tax the gas that comes out of the cow's behind or whatever. And they want to tax the wind, and they want to tax the water. You can't collect water, even though nature pours it down on. Like right, I don't even have to worry about collecting right now. It's been raining for seems like 20 years now. It's all sloppy outside. So
if they say that that's their water and you can't collect it, then you should be able to sue them for the damages caused by it, right?
Well, yeah, that's what I'd think. Everything is waterlogged, and so I think they owe me some money if they own that water. I wonder who
come
I
and get it now, yeah. Or else you pay me to remove it.
Come over here and mop. Come over here and mop this mess up.
but see, that's not how the system works. They have their own set of rules where they're exempt from all the rules you are required to uphold, to abide by.
Perfect example of the city building ordinance in Lewisville, Texas. You cannot generate electricity or mechanical power by any means of the use of wind.
Because the wind belongs to them, right? When you're inside the city limits. Our wind.
Well,
the violation of their own ordinance over 25,000 times. Because every metal telephone pole or electric power pole or flagpole that belongs to the city.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Is making electricity by wind going across it. Come on.
Is the RICO Act the monopoly deal there? Is that the one I'm thinking about?
What?
The RICO Act? Is that the monopoly deal where one person can't get a monopoly over something like that? I can't remember.
I think you're right. I can't remember for sure.
Well, anyway, we need to find out the legal one that is for monopoly, because essentially the government's been putting a monopoly on every single thing out there. I mean, it's not fair to industry. It's not fair to the individual that one person has the power over the wind or whatever. You know, the fact that they're trying to tax you for collecting wind, saying it's illegal, you can't use that to generate electricity, and there's only one purpose for it, and that's to either make the power company more money or make the government more taxes or both.
You know, we got a guy that's he's building inspector, not inspector. He's a building ordinance enforcer. He doesn't do any inspection. He just rides around all day long looking for somebody that's breaking some kind of an ordinance or not complying to an ordinance. And I had a friend of mine that had one of those little bitty 5-foot ornamental windmills, like they use. They're little, but they look just like the big ones that you see out in the Midwest all the time. Had it out in his front yard. This guy comes up and tells him he's got to take it down because he's not supposed to have wind power. He said it's not doing anything, but it's sitting there turning. He said, but it's turning. That's the whole thing. It's not supposed to, it can't produce mechanical energy, and if the wind is turning it, that's mechanical energy. And I'm thinking to myself, you idiot, if the courthouse is a flagpole with an American flag on it, and the wind's blowing, and it's moving.
Oh, yeah, that electric generator that uses the flap action, where you just got a strip of plastic with some width to it, where when the wind blows by it, it wiggles back and forth, moving a magnet back and forth near a coil generating electricity.
Exactly.
That flag is doing the exact same thing, wiggling around up there, generating it. It's consuming that energy of the wind to move the flag around. So
The thing is, you don't even need the magnets. You don't even need the coil. They're made of nylon, rayon. And that in itself, when wind blows across it and it flaps like that, it builds a static electricity. I mean, that's why they ground the flagpole, because if they didn't, so, walk up after a windy day and you get your dick put in your watch pocket for you. I mean, it would make your hair stand on end.
So basically somebody needs to bring this to bear and charge somebody with this, so that basically they have to take down all their flags or they have to remove their ordinance.
Exactly. And here's another thing, too. What about all the trees out in front of the courthouse? People stand under them in the summertime to get cool. Why? Because the wind blows across the leaves, causing to evaporate faster, cooling the air, and the air being cold falls down out of the tree and cools the people. That's why
it's also blocking the sun from hitting the ground, and then the air blows over it to keep the heat that's generated on it from penetrating and ending up down near the ground. Instead, it blows it off and away.
Outside, underneath your metal roof carport, and take the temperature reading in the shade, and then go stand over a big oak tree in the shade of it and measure the temperature, and you'll find that the oak tree is a lot.
You're talking about multiple layers and thinner material to dissipate that heat at a higher distance. If you stand under your carport, and you before you stand under there, you put several more roofs over that with an open airspace in between to allow air to flow between there, it'll be much cooler in that carport than it would be without those extra layers.
But it'll still be cooler underneath that tree because the
tree. It won't. Not if you put enough of that over top of that. I guarantee you, it'll be a lot cooler under that carport.
I'm not going to argue with you, but I do disagree.
But anyway, you know, the whole thing is, it's all ludicrous, man. I mean, is it just me, or is this system it's like this. Every time I play Monopoly with my older brother and my younger brother, I always lose. And that's because my older brother's the banker. And my younger brother, who's not as corrupt as my older brother, he's in cahoots because my younger brother will see my older brother making some serious financial gains during the game. And so my older brother will bribe my younger brother with a $500 bill under the table. And so I go to the bathroom during the game one time. I come back and everybody but me has hotels on their property. I'm like, okay, what's going on here? You know what I mean?
The object of the game is not to go to the bathroom. To be the first person to go to the bathroom.
So, you know... And when you see $500 bills sliding out of your brother's sleeve, you know, something's, that ought to be a red flag. I got this stinking feeling that there's some cheating going on in this game.
I got the stinking feeling that we need Max Kaiser in here to talk about that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You gotta pick a pocket or two to get by in this game.
Oh, man. But here, you know, it's simple as this, man. If you're going to get anything accomplished in this world, you're not going to be able to do it via the system that it's that is right there. And if it's illegal to collect rainwater in your area, you need to work on your congressmen or your senators or your town councils or whatever until it is no longer illegal. But in the meantime, don't even ask for permission. Just do it.
Disobedience.
Yeah. If all your neighbors...
Hey, let's get on the marriage thing then, okay? When you go down to get a license to get married, you know what that means? You're getting a permit to get married, right?
Yeah.
That means you're asking for permission to get married. You don't have a right to get anything if you have to have a permit to do it. That is asking for permission. It's a privilege then.
Well, the whole thing is just, it's ludicrous,
driving your car,
man.
Same thing. Driving your car, same thing. Going fishing, same thing. You're having to ask for permission.
Yeah, but it's ludicrous.
Who put them in charge where they were the ones that you have to go and ask for permission from?
Somebody out there who has some power and some connections. Get me in a contact with all the different mainstream media people out there, and let's have a party so I can sit down there and we can tell them what's what. Because these guys are either A, in cahoots because they're getting paid a lot of money to lie and propagandize.
Hold on. Who do you think owns those news companies?
I'm sure the government does.
Oh, no. See, that's just it. You keep diverting everything away from the real man behind the curtain because you keep talking about the government. The government is the puppet that's on the hand of the guy that's behind the curtain, okay? The corporations, the people with the dollars, they're the ones that own the government. And the people that have the dollars are owned by the people who write the zeros, who decide how many dollars there are in circulation available for them to have. Because they make the money first, and they give their buddies, the guys with the big bucks, the first opportunity to get to use it while it still has the most value before it starts trickling down and losing value and diffusing and becoming, you know, weaker and weaker.
The ironic part about what you're talking about is you're right, except that you got one more step. It's the common people that own the big companies in the stock market. Come on!
Hey, Stephen...
No, they don't. No, that's just it. They don't own it. They just get to have some benefit from saying that they're being taken the blame for owning it.
Stephen,
that's the problem.
Stephen Gibbons answered a question I was looking for under there. He said under, I think that says number 2 or something, of the Sherman Act, 1890, every person who shall monopolize or attempt to monopolize any part of trade or commerce among the several states commits an offense. See, now that those are the kind of things everybody needs to get onto and learn and all this, because essentially what they're doing, when you buy your electricity, you're part of a Commerce Act. You're making a purchase, you know, and they're monopolizing and manipulating the price that you got to pay for their own benefit. It's not for your benefit, and that they charge you high bills on that, and if they're trying to shut you down from using wind and telling you on the out the other side of their neck that you got to reduce your carbon footprint. You see what I'm saying? The hypocrisy there is ludicrous. It's counterproductive.
What about your co-op power companies? Like we have CoServe here, and there's a simple other that are co-ops, and they actually make their own electricity and then sell it. And well, I mean, they're not allowed, no one is allowed to compete with them. I'm on CoServe. I cannot get another electric provider. They will not allow it.
That's why you need a whole bunch of mad science guys in your neighborhood and building electric generators down in their basements and running extension cords underneath the ground to their neighbor's house, and everybody builds their own.
You gotta use the proper wiring, or they'll come and get you for the code, because you can't use extension cords for anything. That's against fire code.
Well, they do.
out of sight, out of mind. What they don't know can't hurt them, right?
Electricity to anyone in a co-op area. You can make all the electricity you want for yourself.
but you can't sell it to your neighbors. You can give it to them, but you can't sell it.
Well, doesn't that
right,
sound...
Right, you're violating their monopoly.
Exactly.
There you go.
Legalized monopoly.
They're monopolizing everything.
Hold on. You know what they're not making illegal in that scenario, though, for you to do? Making the equipment and selling it to your neighbors so they can make their own electricity.
There you go. Now, that's an idea.
That way, everybody's making their own electricity by rule of thumb. And even if it's expensive to build the equipment, just sell it on a lease-to-own plan.
Yeah, there you go.
How much were you paying for your electric bill? Well, you pay me that much a month for the next 12 months for the equipment, and at the end of the year, the equipment's yours.
Not for the electricity, but for the equipment.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. You're paying to lease the equipment. They're using the equipment. You're not using it and start selling the electricity to them. What I'm saying is they give you the amount of money that they were normally giving to the electric company as payments toward owning the equipment to generate their own electricity, so by the end of the year, then they own the equipment themselves.
I love that, Thomas. I love it. Because that way, people could afford it. You don't have a small down payment to cover some of your expenses of building it, and then you get payments per month less than the power company charges for electricity or the electricity that your machine is producing.
Well, if you're the one doing this, you're totally within your rights to say, you know what, I know you're having it hard this month, just give me half of what you were supposed to pay, and we'll tack that on at the end, so you'll have another half a month at the end of the year.
Exactly.
But eventually the equipment will be yours.
That is exactly how I'm doing the format for Boomtown Power and Light.
And you know what would be another good beneficial deal to if there was like any profit made out of this deal is to put a portion of that back for those individuals who actually couldn't afford to get the system and trying to...
That's just it, though. They have to be able to afford it if they're affording living in a house and paying an electric bill.
Well, yeah,
If they don't live in a house, if they're renting from somebody, then... They need something that basically they're going to have to get into a situation where they can buy their own property at some point.
Well, there are those.
So the only landlord they owe money to is the government.
There are those communities and other third world countries that could benefit from such a machine or whatever. So I'm just saying.
You know what though, we got enough going on right here. How about we put that into the community if you're making that extra money to start working on other projects that you could then release and do the same thing with it. So they're only strapped down then again for each thing that you put out there, they're only strapped down for a year instead of being strapped for the rest of their life like they are now to whatever it is that they're getting their resources from.
I guess I'm thinking way down the line, it starts off in your local community and spreads out until eventually the system is so well,
yeah, let's franchise, man. After it starts proving that it actually works, start franchising that sucker out there. Start franchising Boomtown Power and Lights out,
Yep, and keep it in the hands of the people.
Like McDonald's. It's one on every street corner, You don't have to go very far to buy your equipment.
They're monopolizing everything under the sun, including the sun. And so if we the people's ever going to try to get control of that situation, that's how it's going to have to be done from the ground level up, because it's just it's crazy. All the special interest groups that can lobby the Congress and the Senate and get them to do things.
We actually need to get more control so we can force that system back down. Because if you look at it, Their only intent is to squeeze you until you're dead,
yeah,
and collect every drop. I'm not kidding.
I believe it.
It costs several hundred dollars to become a citizen of the United States, right? But if you want to renounce that citizenship and leave the country, it's several thousand dollars. Where's the one place we've seen something like this before? Oh, I don't know. Maybe the toll roads getting into major cities where there's next to no toll getting in, but it's extremely expensive to leave the city. Once they got you, then they just rip you off?
Well, the nuclear industry out there is wasting free energy. The coal industry, the oil industry, all of these individuals out there are wasting energy. such as with an internal combustion engine. You go out there and buy your gas for a super high price, but if you modified that same exact vehicle to have more efficient injectors in it and sending that into a super fine mist as opposed to a stream, then you're using less fuel and getting the same amount of power out of it, if not even more, because an atomized fuel will burn a lot easier than a stream of fuel.
You know, but Shazia's talking about gasoline engines and being efficient. My grandfather used to work for a lumber company years and years ago, back before they had hard surface roads. And mostly what they had was just mules and wagons. So the lumber company would buy the whole forest. They would, not the land, just the trees, a whole forest. And it was my grandfather's job to go there and set up a lumber mill in the center of the woods, the forest. They would actually cut the trees down, take them to the mill, cut them up in the lumber, load them on wagons, and haul them off. Today we have super highways, big trucks. So now they cut the trees down and haul them hundreds of miles to a lumber company, lumber mill. But what my point is about the gasoline engine, at first, before they had gasoline engines, they would take all the trash wood, burn it, make steam, and turn the sawmills with steam. Then gasoline engines came out. They were one-cylinder pony engines, and they did not burn gasoline. They burnt gas fumes. They would take a 250-gallon oil drum, put 20 gallons of gas in it, and run the gasoline engine off the fumes, and that 20 gallons would last them almost 2 weeks.
Well, see?
And they run 10, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week.
That's what I'm talking about. I'd love to get a hold of one of those old-style motors like that. That's like gold, man.
But I ran a 200-cubic-inch six-cylinder motor for 20 minutes on less than 5 cc's of gasoline. A 4 horsepower, 4 cubic inch, Briggs & Stratton motor at idling burns 55 cc's of gasoline a minute. And I ran it for 20 minutes on 5 cc's of gas fumes.
Well, that's just prime example of what I'm talking about. I mean, everything out there, I mean, it's everything is inefficient, it's wasteful, and it's monopolized. And so with that said, if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it. I mean, you can burn water for Pete's sake. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to tap into the energy that is around us without cracking up the ground under somebody's house. When somebody's foundation cracks, or their whole entire house, or their car falls into a huge sinkhole because a fracking company took the hydraulic pressure out from underneath your house trying to make themselves some money, and then you ain't got no way to get reimbursed for your damages, you know, there's something wrong with that system. And if the community out there, the people out there are fed up with being basically slaves to the system, you're just a slave to get slapped around on a regular basis. If you're going there paying a high gas price for something that if they would have really cared about, you know, it's funny because they put a catalytic converter in a car, all right, to clean up the air. Ooh, okay, we're going to clean up the air. Well, if you modified that car from the get-go, from the factory, before it ever even came out of that factory, you wouldn't be burning near as much fuel anyway, and you wouldn't be wasting fuel, so there wouldn't be no need for a catalytic converter on your car.
It's true, in fact, that if you modify a gasoline engine to burn alcohol, and you run it on pure alcohol, like, you know, not pure, that's the thing, pure alcohol, but say 90-95% pure, and you run that vehicle, it's not going to give off any, no pollutions, none.
Well, and so if we know this, and a lot of people out there in the world do know this, the auto industry has to know this, but the auto industry, they get kickbacks from the oil industry, vice versa. I mean, they're all in bed together because they make money off of each other. I mean, your tires, for instance, that's made out of crude oil, you know, everything out there. Anything that's plastic.
They're using corn to make alcohol. Use grass. Use cellulose. I mean, according to everything I've read so far, sugar is sugar. Molecule of sugar. Okay? Starch is two
molecules of sugar hooked together. Cellulose is four molecules of sugar hooked together. All you got to do is find out a way to separate the cellulose back into sugar and make alcohol out of that. And that being said, I like that word. Anyway, the United States throws enough cellulose away every year to power the entire world.
Well, and until people get to learning about basic science and understanding the little concepts of how things function, and that's what that whole video series, Free Thinkers, is all about, pointing out the blatantly obvious, what people should be able to recognize, we're going to have to keep fighting with the system that is monopolizing us to death. I mean, they got their stranglehold on the people, man. And the people are standing there idly by while their eyes are bugging out and their face is turning blue, and they're not doing nothing.
RebelConsumerAlliance.com.
ConsumerAlliance.com?
RebelConsumerAlliance.com.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Well, what do you say we take a quick music break and get our breath and fresh coffee and come back and hit this again?
Yeah, you got any Steve Miller Band?
No.
What kind of what?
I'll have to get some.
Come on, man.
Anyway.
What hippie are you?
I got a terrible playlist. I mean, I need to stock up, but...
Well, look, I gave you a link, man.
All right.
Everybody knows that one.
We'll work all that out later. Anyway, stay tuned, everybody. You're listening to Mad Science, and... I'm going to play some tunes I probably already played. All right. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Turn it up.
I'm a-
crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Yeah, give me the number for 911. You're listening to the Mad Science Show. I got Raymond on here and Thomas. He's a little riled up because I won't play his song. But it's kind of hard because of the system that I got set up. Maybe some day whenever Muddy gets down in this general vicinity, we'll figure this thing out. You guys still there?
Yeah.
Did I lose you? Oh, okay. Well, there we go. You hear that in the background? Da, 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 fly like an eagle to the sea. All right, well, I'm going to have some fun with that. Anyway, yeah, let's talk about...
Hey! You remember the song, the one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater?
Yeah, but I ain't going that route right in the moment.
There's no more purple people for them to eat.
That's right. Yeah, let's talk about piggy banks, man. All right? Piggy banks are cool because, you know, if you take a penny and you throw it in the piggy bank and you shake that piggy bank around, it's just got the clank of one penny in there, you know? But, you know, if you go like every so often when you got a penny or find a penny on the ground, you throw it in the piggy bank, and then eventually after a while it stores up in the piggy bank.
Before you know, you have some maracas?
Yeah. Yeah, and eventually it's so tight inside there you can't shove another penny in there. Well, yeah. The same thing could apply with energy. You know, everybody's talking about how, well, you know, you can't get energy on demand because it takes too many amps to produce hydrogen. Well, what if you had a essentially a trickle charge system of hydrogen? I mean, you could use a low voltage DC power supply off of a little cheapo solar panel, and I'm telling you right now that hydrogen will pressurize. It will literally blow a container up if it's not strong enough. And so you can actually set a system up to where it will basically start throwing pennies in the bucket. You know, a little bit of hydrogen in there, you know, and you know, if you're worried about storage of it, figure out a method by which to get a hold of one of the hydrogen cells like they use for the cars, the way that they're designed is so if they get impacted, they're not going to blow up and stuff. That was the whole fear over hydrogen cars, because they figured there'd be hydrogen bombs blowing up every time there was a car crash.
You know, right. Gas permeable stone inside of them was how they solved that problem. So that's not the problem.
Yeah.
The problem is it takes too much energy to break down water, which is the most readily available source of hydrogen right now. I mean, it takes too much energy through all the methods that they have now, right now. To make the hydrogen
but the
more
key,
efficient just to use the other energy to run the vehicle.
But the key, Thomas, the key is it doesn't take a whole lot of energy to actually do the process. It just takes a whole lot of energy to do it faster. Now, you can, and I've done this with something as simple as a pin light battery. You can get the hydrogen bubbles to start going, all right?
Well, what happened to your electrodes, too, though? See, I watched somebody do that with some stainless steel electrodes thinking they were going to be fine, and the water turned murky and black because the other compounds that happened to be in the water they were using, because it wasn't distilled water, which is more energy to heat it up and boil it away to make sure that there's nothing in it, right, before you start cracking it. So otherwise, you got to keep replacing your electrodes, and it takes energy to make the electrodes.
Yeah.
They're not free. You don't walk out and find copper and aluminum and stainless steel electrodes laying on the ground from nature.
You know,
grow on trees.
I would like to address...
You can use carbon rods.
Thomas just said about it requiring more energy to split the water into hydrogen oxygen than the hydrogen oxygen will produce when you burn it. Well, what if you could use, and I know you can because I've done it, you can use the hydrogen and oxygen to make electricity without burning the hydrogen and oxygen. Then you burn the hydrogen oxygen. But now you
if you're talking about a hydrogen fuel cell, no, you can't burn it afterwards because it actually is converting the hydrogen and oxygen into water in order to gain the electricity that the cell generates.
Yeah, but see, here's my point with the whole piggy bank thing. Look, I know that you can do this with low voltage DC. I've done it before. You don't get a lot. It doesn't happen overnight. I mean, but it will pressurize, and you could literally store that energy. So you throw a little solar panel out there with a DC charge on the plates, whether you make them out of stainless or carbon rods, which you could actually use, recycle whatever out of ferrite rods out of a doggone antenna off of an old radio or whatever. But you make a system that you can change the rods every so often, change the water every so often, and just let this thing run continuously and forget about it. Now, when that pressure level gets up there to where it's high enough to where it can actually run something for any period of time, then you could have relay switches. It'll kick it on and drain that gas off, and then that just that instance that you're running that, you're not paying on the power grid for that particular point in time. You see what I'm trying to get at here?
Yes, I do. And the thing is, you can use that, what you said, the hydrogen and oxygen in a sealed container. I mean, in other words, the water in your JoCell or water splitter in a sealed container will build a tremendous pressure.
Did you know?
1 PSI will lift water 2 feet. So if you had it go up to, say, for example, 40 or 50 PSI, you can lift water 80 to 100 feet in the air. And it just would keep right on producing and pumping more and more water to that height.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, when you get 2,000 or 3,000 pounds of water, 80 to 100 feet in the air, you turn it loose and with a pulley system to where it turns a generator. And you have not ruined your hydrogen and oxygen. You still have it.
That way you can continue using it.
Do you remember the warning labels on lead acid batteries, what they said on a lead acid battery?
Don't overcharge them or they might explode.
Well,
or don't dispose of them because they're toxic.
There was one other thing that was a key point. They said that the lead acid batteries have a vent in them for a reason.
Yeah. To let off the hydrogen.
Aha! Aha!
Aha!
Gotcha.
So now you're running your battery, which is producing hydrogen, and they say don't arc around the battery for that reason because it could blow the battery up. So what
actually,
if
it's producing hydrogen sulfide?
All right. Well, there's something else in there then. There's a plus.
You mean if you run that through a motor, it'll burn that motor up the way acid does?
Yeah, but we're not going to do it like that.
What are you going to do it like?
Well, we're going to redesign the entire system, man, because there are things, there are materials that you could use that wouldn't eat up, you know? I mean, okay, in your standard aluminum block motor or metal motor, you know, there's a problem there, you know? And so...
So you're going to build your motor out of ceramic?
Yeah, why not? I mean, they made an engine.
And I'm having trouble getting somebody to help me make just a couple metal plates and a metal tube with a flange on it on either end, so I can build a pressure vessel for my rig that I'm trying to do my experimentation with.
Either way, we might hit a few dead ends in this process, but what we've recognized here is that we know that when we're using those batteries, they're producing hydrogen. All right, where's that hydrogen going?
Thomas, check out Belgrade Machine. He loves helping people do stuff like you want to do.
Okay.
He's a kick's butt machinist.
So, I'm just pointing out that before we put the cart before the horse, we need to get this situation sorted where people will actually help each other out so that some ideas can get produced.
I agree.
It's not about
getting people doing things. It's about getting ideas completed.
I agree.
And you got to do whatever you got to do to get those people to come together to put the power and the you know the work behind it to make those ideas happen.
But an idea, any of those ideas will work. Yeah, an idea making it
completed.
An idea making it to construction or whatever to production. Comes from an idea. It's in itself, such as a lot of people that didn't know that batteries produce hydrogen. Now they know. Was there a way that we could literally tap off?
Right. But what I'm saying is that too many ideas, like too many cooks, ruin the progress of anything getting done.
Yeah, but see, I'm hoping
pick an idea and do something with it. Just pick something. Let's go.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm hoping that the folks out there listening to this will grab something out of any of the ideas that we've thrown out there, anywhere from the pop boat to hydrogen production, the piggy bank theory, where you're building a massive capacitor bank and you're bleeding that. Man, all you got to do. It's trickle charge a battery, and you can get that battery to eventually get up to full charge. Now, if it's out of sight and out of mind, and you don't even think about it, hey, you come back and the piggy bank's full. You see my concept here? This is what I'm trying to get at.
Yes, yeah, you're talking about automation.
Yeah.
People do it in Minecraft where they'll do something to keep things running that are automatically doing something for them, and when they come back, they've got full chests of resources to use to do whatever they want.
Well,
and you can do it in the real world. That's where they got the idea for that video game to do that, is that people were already doing it in the real world. The only person you have around these big companies are basically usually people that are just sitting watching, make sure the thing doesn't explode or shut down, or you know, it basically end up corrupting or ruining whatever it is that they're supposed to be going on.
Yep.
All the work's being done by the machines.
When you go out there and plant a garden, you don't stand out there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, basically eyeballing the plant. You know, like they say, watch pot never.
And that's what I'm saying, though. You don't have to even do. You don't even have to go out there at all. If you are willing to do the research and set the initial equipment up, you can build automated equipment that will go out there periodically, test the water, the water content in the soil, test the humidity level and whatnot, and add water when it's needed.
Yep.
And then, you know, roll back and give a constant feedback report, too, so that you can come in every now and then, like once a month, and look and go, okay, it's doing what it's supposed to be doing and leave, you know? And if it doesn't do what it's supposed to be doing, something's wrong, you can even have it set up to send you an alert to your phone.
So you sat there.
And you can run up there and take care of it. Keeling Motors, go look them up. They sell really cheap stepper motors. You can build a complete automated system for anything you want. They've got motors that are so powerful, for about $200 or $300, you can hook them up to a pulley system and a chain system and pick a car up with one.
Well, and there you go, man. Listen to this. Tick tock, tick do 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 do.
These are motors that are actually precisely controllable enough. You could build one of those mechs that you see in all the sci-fi movies. They could actually reach down and pick up a car for, you know, a few hundred dollars per motor.
Well, and there you go. This is what I'm talking about. You ever played that game Mousetrap? Huh?
I never played it, but I saw it plenty.
Yeah, well, the game Mousetrap is pretty unique. It takes this little ball, and you roll the ball down, and it knocks over this, which flips that lever, which turns this gear, and so on and so forth. Imagine all the individuals out here with a little bit of ideas about every single thing that we've been talking about all this time here on the Mad Science Channel, and they get together, and they build a system that... It's trickle charging a hydrogen cell. It's trickle charging a battery bank. It's trickle charging a capacitor bank. It's taking wind power. It's taking solar power. It's taking earth batteries. It's taking hydroelectrics, thermoelectrics, every known energy known to man that isn't polluting the environment, that you don't have to bust up the ground and tear up somebody's property in order to get to. That you're just using what nature does and you're combining it all in. By itself, maybe it's not enough to run anything for a substantial time. But combined, all of these factors come into play to build an ideal where when the sun is out, you're getting electricity. When the sun isn't out, you're still getting electricity. When the wind's blowing, you're getting electricity. When the wind is not blowing, you're still getting electricity. If it's hotter than all get out outside, you're getting electricity. And using processes that we know called, where they use like the heat pump system or whatever, heat transfer, you can literally take heat and get cold with that. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
You know, you got a 30-foot culvert pipe under the ground that takes the cold, the hot air out of the air and sucks it down underneath the ground where it's cool all the time. And now that temperature just changed from the hot air down there that you got now a cooling system for your house, and you have a homemade dehumidifier that will take the humidity out of the air, and down inside that pipe there will actually be water in that pipe. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Even on a hot day, during a drought, if there's any humidity whatsoever in the air, that temperature difference from the hot outside to the cool downside will create condensation down in there that will gather in this pipe down there. Now you got a little pump hose that goes down inside this pipe, and you got a wind turbine that's creating a suction that is actually pumping this up into a container that you could then in turn run down through a biofilter and have some fresh water. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, where is the world community out there and all the green freaks that are always hollering about save the environment? Where are they at? Because this stuff is so easy, it's not even remotely funny. You know, if it's hot outside and you got your air conditioner on inside, you can see that your windows will fog up. Am I wrong?
You're right.
That's condensation. It's creating humidity. So if you need an emergency source of water and you can figure out a way to not have the water taste like trash whenever you dehumidify it, you know, change the system up. You see what I mean?
Yep.
Now you got to... Go ahead.
All these hurricanes that hit Florida and the south coast of the United States, I mean, they destroy things. And they go down there, and these people, it's just, most of the time it's in hot weather.
Okay? Yeah.
After the hurricane, all hurricanes are accompanied by lots and lots of rain, so there's a lot of humidity in the air.
Yeah.
You just simply ship air conditioners, big air conditioners down there.
And why don't you do this? Because, Raymond, you mentioned this earlier. The infrastructure is already there. If California is having a drought and Florida is having a flood, why not ship that water from Florida to California?
Exactly. Exactly. The infrastructure is there. Use it. I mean, come on. So they're pumping gasoline and diesel fuel through these pipe systems, and now all of a sudden you're going to pump water. Duh. Diesel fuel and gasoline float on top of water. So when you get a little bit in the water, it's not going to hurt the cotton picking thing.
No.
It's not going to hurt the thing.
It's just so incredibly simple. It's just nuts. I mean, the system, the entire infrastructure that as we know it has been built so inefficiently because back then there wasn't as many people using it. They didn't have to worry about wasting it. Like whenever you're only paying 15 cents a gallon for gas, I mean, 15 cents ain't nothing to us. I mean, it was probably a lot back then, but, I mean, just think about 15 cents a gallon right now. That everybody would be out going on vacation, you know? I mean, they could afford to do so. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, gasoline, the infrastructure, the piping and so forth, blah, blah, blah. It's there. How big is it? I mean, I know just one service station in Louisville, in the city limits. That one service station pulls in 2 to 3 tractor trailer truckloads of gasoline 7 days a week, every day. Just one service station. So there's got to be an amazing infrastructure to ship this liquid all over the United States. Think about it.
Yeah, that's just simple, you know. When you're driving your car along and you got your AC on because it's hotter than the dickens outside, just imagine if you was driving that car with a hydrogen engine in there. And you wouldn't even really have to stop and get fuel because if you have ever noticed whenever you're like stop at a stoplight or you get out of your car, you see water dripping out of the bottom of this thing, That's because the heat difference between that air conditioner and that air outside is creating condensation, which could be trapped into a tank and fed back in through your engine, and so you're not even dripping on the ground. You're using everything that was going on. You see what I'm saying? To me, it's so incredibly simple, but to everybody else out there, I don't know. Do I got this wrong?
The thing is, the cool side of the coil that produced the water.
Yeah.
So the water itself is actually cold. So if you actually put a pump in your air conditioning system, take that water and spray it over your hot coil, it cools them better and would increase the efficiency of your air conditioner by 20-25%.
Well, there you go. And you could also take that same concept and run a coil around your radiator, which would help disperse some of the heat off your radiator as well.
Exactly. I mean, why just drip it on the ground? Use it.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what, we... If we were in charge of the system, it'd be a heck of a lot different than it is right now. I'm gonna play that. Time is so slipping. Do 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 do.
She says that is a cooler idea. What you just had. Water that dripped off your air conditioner in your car. All you have to do is let it drip into a bucket, a pot.
Yep.
Or a plastic bottle, just like your windshield washer. I mean, just go to the junkyard and buy one of those. Let it drip into that and have a float valve in it, a switch, to where when it fills up with so high, it pumps it up into your window washer or sprays it over your radiator.
Yeah.
And it would work great in your window washer because it is distilled water. It's clear.
Well, the funny thing about it is, whilst you're doing this, running, like let's say you take copper tubing and zigzag it back and forth across your radiator, and you're pumping this cold water that's coming off of the air conditioner into that system, and it's cooling down your radiator, that heat difference between the radiator and the copper tubing makes, guess what? Some more condensation.
Right.
Grab it there, too. Pump it back through.
I mean, you know, we've said it 1,000 times, if we've said it once, there is no such thing as energy that's not free.
That's what
I've been... It's the machine you build that costs money to use that energy.
Yeah, that's what I've been trying to shout to all four points of the compass, man. It's driving me insane. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at this deal right here. I mean, everybody's talking about, well, we're having drought. Well, like we said just a minute ago, if Florida's flooding, send the water over to California. They can use all they can get. And so if we had countries and states that would, you know, they call it reciprocity. What I would do for you, you would do for me kind of thing, right? Well... If we need water, you got extra water, you ship it over us. If you need electricity, it's windy and all get out over here, so we're going to use our wind turbines and ship you some electricity. And if everybody works in conjunction, now you have a totally self-contained system that ain't nobody got nothing to cry about because everybody's got what they need. You see what I mean? And you ain't got people out there busting up the ground and ruining the water table because they don't need to. They're using what nature's already provided.
You know, she lived, check this idea out. California is, I mean, they're pumping water from the Midwest over the Rocky Mountains.
Well.
And they're right on the coast. Why not desalinize the water?
Well, there you go.
Plus, no,
people like sea salt. I mean.
Vacuum will not pull water higher than 32 feet at sea level. That's it. So you simply put some pipe, a whole bunch of black pipes, going up. 34 feet high. Then you take the whole bunch of pipes going down on the backside because you got a shade in between. The pipes are in the sun. The water is up. It boils instantly because it's on their vacuum, and salt doesn't go with it. So it goes on the backside, and the vapor cools. Duh. It would sit right there. I mean, as long as the sun shines, it would desalinize the hell out of water. You could put it on a barge. Well, chain the barges together, they would act like a reef stopping heavy waves from tearing up the shoreline.
If the water is too heavy to send over to them, boil it and send them steam.
There you go.
And in the process, all the way down that pipe, you got steam turbines that are picking up electricity while you're shipping them steam clear across the globe over there. then you're using that energy, and then you got condensators in line with the same system that are actually producing fresh water, and so ain't nobody dying of thirst, because if you're thirsty, go over there and get some.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Check this out. You get a whole bunch of air conditioning radiators, put them all together in line in series, put some in the shade, some in the sun, it heats the water up, the one in the shade cools off, and you connect them at the bottom, and there's where you put your generator, a hydroelectric generator. Come on, man, there's so many things you can do, and Thomas is right. Too many cooks boil the broth. I mean, yeah.
Well,
there's so many ideas out there that We got to pick one and do something about it. Thomas is right.
I'm into a project where you and I and all of us who want to do something can get together and we can prove exactly what we're saying. And so, you know, I'm on board with that. But as far as everybody else out there listening, grab an idea that you heard, whether it be hydrogen or making fresh water or whatever, and run with it. You know, and put that out there open source for everybody, so that whenever you send your information open source out there to everybody, the things that you need, the information that you need, come back to you just as free as it was whenever you sent it to them. You see what I mean?
The thing is, Thomas, he said a mouthful when he said pick one, because that has been my problem for the past 6 or 8 years, is I've got so many irons in the fire. And so many ideas, and so many different things I'm working on, I can't concentrate on any one single thing.
Well, let's concentrate on two things then, because this is the biggest portion of what costs people so much money in electricity: heating and cooling.
Exactly.
All right? If we can beat the heating and cooling, the lighting is the simplest portion of the deal. We don't even have to worry about that. That's a given. So if we can conquer heating and cooling, then you got all the free energy you can ever use in your lifetime.
I'm going to concentrate on three projects and I'm shelving everything else. But I'm going to concentrate on three. One is my two-stage oscillator. One is using a water splitter, hydrogen and oxygen, to pump water uphill. And two, three, my whole steam turbine. Because I can take the heat off the backside of an air conditioner, turn it into electricity, and drop the actual use of electricity of that air conditioner by 25% to 30%.
Yep. Any efficiency improvement on anything that you've got running right now is a plus. I mean, for Pete's sake, man, if your air conditioner's dripping water out the back and it's just running down the side of your house, rotting in your siding off the side of your house, then why not capture that water and ship it over to where it's needed, such as maybe in your garden, for example.
Exactly. That's a beautiful idea.
And so, hey, there you go, man. There are tons and tons of solutions out there. Take what would normally be classified as waste and use it. I mean, instead of throwing all your stuff in the garbage, think about chemically what you could use that for. You know, rotted food. You know, there's things that you set them in there, your leftovers in your refrigerator. When that stuff, you throw it on your compost heap there, it produces heat for one, but it also helps the nutrient that compost that whenever you throw it on your garden, fertilizer.
Yep.
You know, and the plastics, the paper, I mean, there was a big deal about recycling back there, so they had all these bins about putting everything in a recycling bin, and it would go off to who knows where, and who knows what happened to it. You never heard anything. Every once in a while you see these cardboard boxes with a little made out of recycled paper kind of thing on there. But what's to stop you from building a self-contained recycling machine that you can recycle this into something that you can use? You see what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
I mean, for Pete's sake, the kids like Legos. Make you a mold and build you some Legos out of your soda bottles or something.
Well, how much energy would it take to melt plastic?
Wouldn't take a lot.
Not a catching on fire and burning. I mean, you know, you pick a sealed container,
Yeah, I was say, some of those you have to have a sealed container because it actually takes more energy than they can handle without combusting if they have an oxide.
Right, but the thing is, you fill the container with carbon dioxide or argon, and there's no oxygen for it to burn, so you can heat it up past the splash point and get it water.
And you could actually use the sun to do that, you know, if you weren't in a hurry.
Well, Thomas and I were talking about that when we were on break.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you got enough mirrors, you can be in all the hurry you want, and it'll still beat you to the punch.
Well, there you go.
So every mirror you reflect the sun off of onto something that increases the concentration of light on that by one sun.
Well, I've got
if you have a barrel that hits 117 degrees when it's just sitting out in the sun, how hot is that thing going to get if you have five mirrors focusing five suns on that same barrel?
Right.
Here's another concept for you. All right, you get your oil out of your car and it's all black and cruddy, right? Back in the 80s, whenever I was a boiler technician in the Navy, we used to heat up oil to basically get it thin so that we could filter it and take the water off of it and all that kind of stuff, because believe it or not, in there they'll build up some moisture that will end up being in the sight glass. You'll actually see moisture in there. But the whole concept is, you take that oil, you dump it in a 50-gallon barrel, and you have that oil going down in through some tubing that's going through a solar heater. Now, two things is going to occur here. First off, you're going to heat that oil up and make it thinner so that it can be easily filtered from that point on. It's never going to make contact inside your solar heater. It's just going to be inside the tube. That extra heat will actually help inside the tube. So you're heating up the tube, you're heating up the oil inside there. It's really hot inside this air box. And now you're using that heat for whatever purpose you want to use it for. A solar dehydrator, or to heat a home, or, you know, there's so many different potential uses for it. And we know that heat rises. And so why don't you take that heat rising and run it through a little turbine that might be spinning around a little bit, and even if it's only moving slowly, with some magnets on there that, you know, it's going past some coils and it's trickle charging a battery in the process. So you just took one little deal, you solved the problem where to get rid of your waste oil, you're recycling your motor oil, and you're putting it right back in your car. You see what I mean?
Yep.
So the ultimate in recycling is possible. You know, instead of throwing it in your creek where it's going to end up down in the ocean somewhere and creating a huge island that we all want to go out there and gather up and make an island out of, you know, recycle it all. I mean, reuse everything. The only reason why your oil's bad whenever it comes out of your car is because it's got crud built up in it. Clean the oil up, put it back in. You're going out and you're buying several quarts of oil to redo your car. Why not just use the same oil over and over again? We did it in the Navy. You know? You think the Navy don't know how to save some money, even if they might spend $1,000 on a hammer?
Or $250 for an Allen wrench.
Yeah. That's probably for their black projects, man. That ain't got nothing to do with being thrifty, because I know for a fact that they were thrifty in there. We found alternative uses for all kinds of stuff, such as the Kool-Aid that would rot your teeth out of your face was good for cleaning the decks. Ain't no joke, man. They didn't call that stuff bug juice for nothing.
Right.
So, it's really acidic. It'll shine the deck plates up really good. Well, what's
did
your...
you use Coke to do that too?
Yeah, well, there you go.
Wash the blood off the decks. That's what the police carry around, two bottles of Coca-Cola in the back of the trunk of their car for going around to accidents where there's blood on the road, and washing it off, dissolving the blood and letting it flow away.
Well, see, they know something.
Yeah, I was going to say, they ain't back there so they can have a drink if they run out of coffee and donuts.
Well, you can recycle your cooking grease. You can recycle the oil in your car. You can recycle the plastics. You can recycle the paper. Everything out there, you know. That's why I keep on saying, and I know I sound repetitive, that if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it. Because...
Exactly.
You know, it's out there. You know, if you want, build you a piggy bank, an electric piggy bank, and start storing up energy. Whenever that piggy bank's full, you use that energy till it's gone. What did you pay for? You recycled all the junk that you made it with, right? Don't everybody jump to the microphone at once and chip a tooth, man.
I think I just did, man. I'll have to turn the video on and show you. Look what you caused.
What I should have done was this.
I'll tape a chain, and I'll put that chain in the drawer every day, and every month I will average between $35 and $45 in that drawer every month. It's hard to get used to doing it, but once you get used to doing it, you never miss it. It's a way of saving money. At the end of a year, you've got enough money to take your kids out on a 3-day holiday.
Well, that's the same thing with your electric bill. You know, if you can figure out a way to, instead of having to turn on the light switch, you got something that you can just leave on. The sign to charge up the battery, and all night long, you just leave a light on. I did a video way back called Wasting Free Energy, you know, and I was trying to get a point across. I was wasting free energy. It wasn't costing me none, so I could leave that light bulb on all day long if I want, you know.
Yeah, you can take a small, really very small solar panel, put it by your air conditioner, get you a windshield washer pump. It will plug that pump, pump that cold water, spray it over your hot coils on the outside. Your air conditioner is going to be 25% more efficient. And the thing is, okay, solar panel doesn't make electricity at night, but your air conditioner doesn't really run that hard at night either. Think about that. When the hotter the sun shines, the better it works. And the better your air conditioner works.
Well, and you can store up heat during the daytime with certain materials. I mean, I've given this example a lot to I don't know how many people and his brother. I've gotten in the back of a pickup truck before in the middle of July. It's nighttime out. It's cooled down. Everything's good. Sat down on a spare tire and burnt my biscuits. All right?
Think about all the people that have air conditioning, central air conditioning in their house, where their condensing coils on the outside and their cooling coils are up in the attic or underneath the house.
Yep. Well,
they make water. It's like you were talking about.
Yeah.
I'm disabled. Well, every one of them is piped out somewhere. Reroute the pipe to your condensing coils outside. And therefore, you don't even have to have a motor. If you've got a split system, you don't even need to pump the water. It'll gravity feed to your coils and keep them cool.
There you go, man. And that evaporative cooling that's actually occurring during that time is actually drawing even more cool air into your house.
Exactly.
So eventually you got snotsicles hanging off your face because it's too cold.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You know, that's the thing about most people don't understand. You'd be surprised how many people do not understand a thermostat. An air conditioner puts out cold air. All right, it takes the heat out of the air and makes the air cold. Okay, but it does it at the exact same temperature.
Yep.
No matter how high or how low you turn the thermostat, when your air conditioner is running, the cold air is the same temperature. It only runs for as long as it gets the temperature down to where your thermostat is set.
Well, let me tell you something about thermostat, brother, because I know this one. Let me tell you something about thermostat, because I know this one. My wife, she likes things cold. I like to be warm. All right? So the thermostat to the air conditioner is in her room, right?
Right.
And so she will set the thermostat to her comfort level in there. What she doesn't understand is when her door's shut and it gets cold in that room, her room's nice and cold. Yep. But that doesn't represent the temperature on the opposite side of the house.
Exactly.
Same thing with the heat. It's warm in her room. It's freezing on my side of the house.
Oh.
Oh, man. I go in and tell her, I said, woman, you're either trying to kill me, you're taking me one extreme or another. You're either freezing me out or suffocating me.
But, hey, put your hole in the bottom of the door and put your vent there.
I'm telling you, that's what I need to do. Monitor the temperature in her room, pump some of that on my way.
She'll think you're spying on her then. Then you got a whole nother ball of problems.
Anyway, it's as simple as this, you know. If we use a little bit of common sense, but common sense could go a long ways as far as energy efficient. And if these government officials out there, or the corporations, or anybody in charge out there, anybody who's selling you a particular product, whether it be fuel or electricity or even water for that matter, if they really cared about your best interest, then we would be so efficient, it'd be crazy. If you got a drop on one side, you're shipping water from the other side. If you got too much heat on this side, then you're using that heat for another purpose on the other side. You see what I mean? Did I lose you guys again?
You didn't lose me.
Oh. Raymond must
have muted himself.
Yeah, that's what it was. Anyway, like I said, look. Everything, there's waste heat, there's waste electricity out there. I mean, if you're going to be running your fan anyway, and you got a way that you can take that waste energy off of that fan to pump into, let's say, trickle charge in the battery, I mean, why not? You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just common sense. And if your car out there is going up over 180 degrees, that's a lot of heat. That's a lot of heat to disperse, and it's being wasted. So if you want that car to run a lot better, then you keep that car at a decent temperature. And as it could be as simple as while you're running your air conditioner, you're using that evaporation or the condensation that's built up to cool that engine back down. And so now you got a car that, even in the midst of the hottest day in the middle of the summer, is running cooler than every other car out there.
Hey, did you know the alternator takes a lot of power out of your motor? Do you know that you don't even need an alternator to charge your battery? All you got to do is build an exhaust system and coat the daggone thing with filter devices or thermocouples.
Yeah.
And the exhaust would make more than enough electricity to keep your battery charged.
Throw a solar panel, a little 45-watt solar panel up on the roof of your car like Muddy did with his truck, and your alternator will only kick on when the battery level drops down.
The thing is that a solar panel on top of the car also creates air drag. And there would be no extra air drag if you covered your muffler with thermocouple.
Yeah, but even the air drag could be solved by putting like louvers up there. You know, you make the car aerodynamic.
The thing is, with so much wasted heat coming off of an automobile, I mean, you know, that was my thing. Scientists say, or engineers say, 1 horsepower, 743 watts. Duh, they're not taking into consideration the pressure of the exhaust could actually turn a turbine. The heat from the exhaust could be turned into electricity. So in truth, a one horsepower might be 743 watts, but a 1 horsepower gasoline engine can produce a lot more than that.
Take some advice from a jet engine, man. If you built an inline turbine on your muffler alone, The heat and the pressure coming out of that muffler when you're hammering down the road could produce enough electricity to supplement your doggone battery so your alternator never kicks on. And if your engine isn't working under a load, then it's fine.
Take your radiator in your automobile and turn it 90 degrees. Therefore, the air can't go through it and cool the water. Then cover both sides with Belvedere devices and let your fan blow air across them. That'll throw the heat off and make electricity. Duh!
All you need to do is use everything that you know about basic science. The Peltier elements with the heat sinks on the back of those right there. There you go, man.
Take a water-cooled gasoline motor. Get the heat off from the water cooling the motor and make electricity out of it. The exhaust, get the
heat off of it, make electricity out of it, while the motor is turning a generator, giving it electricity. So you could probably, I'm just guessing, I'm thinking you could make, 1,500 watts on one horsepower motor.
Oh, yeah, well, there's the manifolds off of the cars producing a massive amount of heat, and if you could disperse that heat and you could keep that motor cool, you know, down to a decent operating temperature, then the motor's not working as hard. It doesn't have to use near the amount of fuel, so re-engineering the way that the internal combustion engine alone is functioning. If you're sending the fuel in a super fine mist, you're atomizing it down to a vapor, and you're sending that in, your fuel is going to go down. If your alternator is not happen to work overtime, then your deal's going to go down there as well. And there are ways, methods by which you could actually even supplement the air conditioning portion of the deal so that your air conditioner pump isn't even dragging it down.
Yes. You're right there. That can be done.
Yeah, so there you go, man. There are just a few examples of ways that you could not only just make... And just think about this for a second. The reason why we don't sit there and use our cars as a generator, which it is, it's a mobile generator. There's a book out there called Secrets of the Alternator that will show you how to get 120 volts AC out of just a standard alternator. All right? Well... The reason why we don't sit there and back our car up to the house and plug it in and leave it running is because, obviously, number one, the engine's going to destroy itself from all the heat from sitting there idling. It's going to the rings are going to start tearing up the cylinder after a while. They're only going halfway up, and so eventually you'll have a lip inside the cylinder that will damage the pistons in there. And the heat in itself is causing it, because it's sitting there in an idle, causing it to get too doggone hot. But with the systems that we're talking about, and literally running this, you could drive your car up to your house, plug it into your fuse box, use the car as the power source for your house, and run it 24 hours a day without ever having to worry about paying anybody for electricity. If you use that fuel super efficient, you could be surprised how long you could get a gallon of gas to actually go, man.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? And the heat off the exhaust is helping heat your house. The air conditioning in the car could be cooling your house. The electricity being produced off of it, the waste exhaust coming out, being turned into more energy as well.
I was going to say, the exhaust coming out of your tailpipe is going to cut down on your medical bills, because there won't be anybody left alive in the house.
We're not going to put the car inside the house. The car will be vented. I mean, okay, so if you're worried about carbon monoxide poisoning, you make a special filtration system, pump it off up in the other deal, so that not only is it going through there filtering out the carbon monoxide, then it's also fresh air coming out of the top of the deal. So you're running your car 24/7. It's not getting too hot, because all the wasted heat is being dispersed into things that you need.
You have to get an older car to do that, because
that's our project.
Made out of pot metal.
There's our project there. That's the one we need to work on, Raymond.
Yep, it is.
We need to find an old diesel engine or even a gas engine, and we need to modify that thing to a mobile generating system, because it's already got everything that we need. We use the heat off of it to heat the water in the house. We'll use the heat off of it to heat the house. We'll use the exhaust off of the doggone thing for pressure to turn a turbine. That's the one right there.
I got both of them. I got a V8 gasoline engine and a V8 diesel engine.
And so we turn the doggone car into a mobile generator. The back seat comes out, the battery bank goes in, everything that's not even a passenger seat. We'll use the passenger seat for all the inverters. And you drive it up to any house, connect it into the deal, and you can sit there and leave that thing running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and then every so often go check the oil.
I love your idea. I love it.
And if you decide to move, you take your power plant with you.
No joke.
I love it.
I do too, man. I think it's killer idea.
And if we can get that turkey to run off of hydrogen or biofuel, hey, that's even better.
I thought we were talking about a car here.
We are.
Now you're talking about a turkey. Which is it?
Well, you know, we're going to start off with a turkey. You know, what they would classify in some places called a hoopty, a jerker, a piola. And we're going to turn it into a mobile power station.
Is it an LTD, a load of trash from Detroit?
Yeah, there you go. But we got to get on this. And you know why we got to get on this, Thomas? Listen. Can you hear it, Thomas?
Nope.
Baby, got no shoes on the feet. Oh, they got no feet. I'm waiting for the time, keeps on slipping. It's still, it ain't there yet. Fly like an eagle to the sea. I hear crickets. Okay, let's get ready. Time keeps on slipping. Are you playing it now? Alright, which one is doing it? There you go. Do. So there we go, man. We got the project. We got the project. If you want to talk about over unity, let's take an automobile and let's make it over unity. Flat out. There's the generator source. You got more than enough torque to turn a generator head, so we could take jump into the portion that has the drive shaft on there, and we could put in between that drive shaft, we could put a generator head that will, you know, what, you want to go 10,000 watts or what? Any ideas?
Cricket.
Did we lose Raymond?
He said he turned his air conditioner on.
Oh, that's probably why he can't hear us, because everything's bigger in Texas, and that air conditioner is the size of a double-wide trailer.
Well, he's having to mute his microphone so that...
Raymond, unmute your microphone!
If he does, then it's going to be... Yeah, see? He's saving you.
Yeah, he's playing the tune, too. Anyway, so that's what we need to do. We take a generator head on the drive shaft so that we can prop the back tires up if it's a rear-wheel drive, or the front tires, and use the actual wheels themselves to actually turn some generator heads as well. We got the radiator heating up water. We got the exhaust heating up water. We're using everything off of that thing, from Peltier elements to... We're going to turn this doggone...
Who's paying for the Peltier elements? Because those ain't cheap.
Hey, well, I don't know, man. We'll just dig them out of junk. You can go to the thrift store and you can buy one of the little mini fridges at the thrift store. Most people don't even know what the heck they are. Get it for a couple bucks. Just build it as we go, man. What do you think?
Yep. I haven't seen any yet.
You ain't looked hard enough.
And I'm the guy that got a Cisco router that has DDoS protection for $9.
See? $9. How much would that have cost you anywhere else?
That's what I'm saying, though. That same type of routing, I still ain't found no Peltier elements.
All right. Then part of the networking that we got going on is we get everybody involved in going to their local flea markets, thrift store, swap meets, or whatever, and start eyeballing for anything that says igloo cooler on it that has an electric cord hanging off of it. Those have Peltier elements in them. Heat sinks out of old computers off of the processor, and then we'll have people shipping all those in. Everything that we're going to use for, like, you know, rolling up the window, rolling down the window, any motion, it's going to be actually producing electricity. You know, you could actually have somebody sitting in the car making motor noises and turning the wheel back and forth and generating electricity.
you know, your average window air conditioner, the heat coming off the backside, if you condense it, would actually run three gas air conditioners.
Yeah.
You could use the heat off of an electric air conditioner to run gas air conditioner more than what you're using it for.
Now, let me ask you a question.
No.
Is there a quick connect or disconnect that you can actually tap into a line without spraying coolant in your face?
Yes, there is.
All right, so you pull the car up there. You got the air conditioner running in the car. You take that quick connect and you pump it into your car and you stick it into the back of your refrigerator, and now you're using the same pump for your refrigerator, your freezer, your car, your AC unit. So now you got the car is cooling down all your food. It's cooling down the house or heating it up, whichever one you're going to need, whatever. What do you think?
I think about 35 years ago, we installed 400 air conditioning systems in a government housing project.
Yeah.
And every one of them were pre-charged units. It's exactly what you're talking about. All the piping thing, it already had Freon in it, and it sealed at the ends. The coils already had Freon in them. They were sealed. But the connection, as you twisted it, it got tight enough, it made a seal, and before it got completely tight, and opened up steel. So, yes, to answer your question, absolutely, 100%.
Well, there you go. And all we're talking about is taking already existing technology and using every negative to turn into a positive, creating basically a portable power station.
Pure plug and play.
Yep.
I'll say it sounds more like it's going to be...
Plug and play. I love it.
All right, so does that sound like a project we can get together?
Yeah.
All right, so I'll have to put a video together here as soon as ASAP, if it's possible, and basically start getting people on board with the idea. And, if they're worried about the exhaust fumes, then I guess we'll have to shift from gasoline to a hydrogen or whatever, you know, and it's doable.
Just burn the gasoline more efficiently and you get less pollutants.
Well, there you go. And then you could actually filter that exhaust out and clear out the pollutants before it ever even got to the deal. So
the reason you get so much carbon monoxide from a gasoline engine is that it does not burn the gasoline completely.
Yep.
That's where your monoxide comes from.
That's why they have a catalytic converter on there. It burns all the waste fuel.
But you get no benefit off of it.
That's right.
So the thing is, a gasoline engine is a sealed unit except for the intake and the exhaust. Therefore, you put the whole thing on the engine down in mineral oil or vegetable oil, let it heat that up, and it's in a container covered with healthier devices. Therefore, you get all of the heat. You're getting the heat off the exhaust on your thermocouples. You're getting heat off every drop of heat that comes off the engine.
Did you know that copper is a great conductor of heat?
Oh, yeah.
So you can send heat through copper just like you can send electricity through copper.
Yes.
So what's to stop you from running a system off of the catalytic converter on the car through a copper tubing that might be filled up with some sort of either water or oil, and then making you a stove that while you're running the same said generator, you can cook your food on your stove instead of using 220 volts AC to run your doggone elements on your stove. It's just taking the waste heat off of the doggone car to do it.
Yes, exactly.
Ta-da!
Summertime, you use the waste heat off the car to make electricity run your air conditioner.
There you go.
Off the backside of the air conditioner to make more electricity to help out. I mean, yeah, the technology is there. It's been there for years.
And if your neighbors are, if you're producing too much electricity and your neighbors are short on it, then drop them a cord, man.
Let's go.
All right, well, that's that's pretty much it, man. Can you guys think of anything else? I mean, I can think a lot of.
I'm thinking about all the safety features that are going to have to be added to this to make it work and be safe for the average person to be able to use.
All I'm saying.
Don't tell anybody, that's all.
All I'm saying.
Don't tell anybody, huh?
It's only illegal if you get caught.
Don't learn.
I ain't talking about us. I'm talking about someone else using it. And
don't learn about electrical safety by accident, while don't learn about carbon monoxide poison by accident.
Don't
we
look
already
at the laser
know,
with your remaining eye.
Yeah. We already know that certain things are dangerous. We already know that, like, for example, the heat off of the manifold. If you put your hand on that, you won't have a hand because it'll be like fried chicken. And since you don't want your hand obviously looking like fried chicken, then you don't touch that. However, if we could take that same heat without touching it with our bare hands and turn that heat into something that would heat your house or heat your water and all that kind of stuff, and if any safety precautions need be taken in any section of this design here, we have little nifty little placards up there that said don't look into the laser with your remaining eye.
problem I see with all of this is if you're using this to cool your house off in a place where it's already hot, and therefore you have to cool the place off, why would you do something that's going to make more heat to run the equipment so that you could actually cool off the interior of the house, because it's going to make it even harder for it to cool off the house because the heat from the device is going to get into the house too.
All right. Well, we're gonna need a negative Nancy in the middle of this deal, because we're gonna have to think of every single drawback. However, if you take and build yourself the equivalence of what would be classified as a root cellar, and you park this generating device down inside there. Now,
you're heating the ground up.
Yeah, it's going to be down there. It's not going to be anywhere near your house. You're not going to catch no downwind of it or anything. It's going to be down there. And then while that heat...
But it's going to be warmer at night, because that ground being cooler is what makes it cooler at night.
Yeah.
When the sun goes away.
Look at how much waste energy we're talking about if you got to bury the car under the ground in order to not get the heat.
You guys are a trip, man.
I'm just saying there are ways that you can cool a place that you're not generating heat to do it.
Well, put it in the pool. I don't care. Whatever we got to do. There are cars that will run on water. I mean, I literally float. Remember those back in the late 70s or early 80s?
VW Beetle.
Yeah, the aqueduct.
The whole bottom of the car is just two plates, so the water getting in is pretty difficult for it to do.
Yeah.
So it'll just float across the water.
I graduated from Great Bridge University in 1964, and while I was in high school, they had cars that would run on the road or in the water. Come on, man.
There you go. That's ingenuity at its best. Why worry about the flood? Just drive through it.
Amphibian vehicles during the Second World War. Come on.
And if you live in Tornado Alley, don't build a stick house. Build a dome. You know. If you live
don't build that dome out of sticks though.
Yeah.
There you go. Sticks and paper mache.
if you live in an earthquake zone, build your house on a doggone shock absorber system, you know? While everybody else is having their stuff falling off the shelf, you're just sitting there laying in bed and everything's fine. Oh, yeah, I think I heard there was an earthquake yesterday. Did any of y'all feel it?
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's been at least 30 years now they've been using Teflon, big pads of it, 3 feet in diameter, 6 inches thick, round circles, and building skyscrapers on those Teflon pads in California. And they say a level 5 earthquake, you're in that building, you don't even know it.
That's right. If something's rigid, then it's going to feel the vibration. If something has something in between there, I mean, it's... Look, back during the old documentaries that they used to do about the way they built bunkers, they built bunkers to be shock-absorbing, where they were literally on rollers, and so if a bomb hit somewhere, the thing would just kind of slide back and forth and, you know, absorb the impact.
Right.
So there you go, man.
I was going to say they use that on the artillery hardware itself when it's shooting the shells off.
Yeah. If you drive down the road,
that way it's not like it was back in the day whenever, you know, pirates were ruling the sea with cannons and they had to actually have four or five guys push that cannon back up to the edge of the wall so they could shoot another ball out.
Let me tell you a funny story.
Knocking people over and tearing their feet off.
Let me tell you a funny story. I found out the importance of shock absorbers back in the day whenever I wanted to build me a hot rod and I wanted to jack the back end of my car up. Well, you know, I didn't have the money at the time for a lift kit, so I got this brilliant idea. What I'm going to do is I'm going to jack the car up, and while the car is jacked up, I'm going to shove 2x4s into the springs. That's going to raise the back end of the car up, which it did. However, when I started driving down the road, if I hit so much as a pebble, the back end of the car is bouncing all over the freaking head. Anyway, not everything.
Surprised you didn't shatter those 2x4s and end up with a bunch of wood all over the place.
Yeah, not every idea is the most brilliant idea, so you got to set back and factor in all this kind of stuff. So, anyway, that's a whole bunch for y'all to contemplate on. I hope y'all enjoyed listening to the Mad Science Show, and I hope you learned something. Let's get on this project. What do you think, Rami? You guys got any last things to go before we get up out of here?
No, I was going to tell you again that I've got an 8-cylinder diesel motor. It's one of the largest diesel motors in a 1-ton pickup truck, and I keep riding the truck, so I'm donating the motor.
Well, there we go. We got to start. We're going to build a totally self-contained portable generator system.
Oh, by the way, I have a 20,000-watt generator, alternator.
Now you're playing with power.
Yeah. And let's do this thing.
I'm in.
Everything we need.
I don't... We got our negative Nancy there to keep us in mind. You gotta find a drawback and everything. Well, you know, there's waste energy all over the doggone place, and so let's just figure out a way to use it, man. You know what I'm saying?
I've got good time converters. I've got alternators. I've got diesel motors, gasoline motors. I've got at least 20 or 30 cooling coils off of air conditioning systems. I've got everything we need to do this with.
All right. Now, do you know anybody who's really good with fuel injectors?
No, I don't.
I think I might. I got just the purpose. We were talking quite some time about building an air engine. And he has what do they call those doggone motors? What's an air engine? Pneumatic.
Pneumatic, yeah. Motors, right.
We were talking about building a pneumatic motor, and he's been working on that for quite some time, so he knows about pressure and you know, basically turning that fuel into mist. And so I'll see if I can get him on board with the project. That way we can get this thing to run super efficient.
Right.
So, my brain's just like going a million miles to an hour there. And I think it's been a brilliant show, and even had some fun with the burning down the house thing. And time keeps on slipping.
So now we just need to...
Alright, now we just need to network. We need to get everything together, put some videos out, tell everybody about the concept, and let's prove free energy once and for all. Let's do it with things that's already in your face. It's that simple.
Raymond, get with me afterwards so I can get some more details on how to get a little bit of help with that project. Find out what I need to do to make that happen.
Will do.
See, the worst case scenario that comes out of this thing is we figure out a way to make your car not nearly run as hot while you're in the middle of July.
The cooler it runs, the better it runs.
Yeah, and the more efficient it runs. If the engine ain't struggling from heat, friction, and all the losses in your general motor, then it's going to run more efficient. If the alternator isn't...
I like the idea a lot more of disconnecting your pump for your air conditioner and hooking that up to like an electric motor and using the Peltiers to passively use the heat that's coming off your engine and whatnot to run that... Run that electric motor that's running your air conditioner.
Yeah,
then you're not bogging down your system, and you're actually using heat that's already being generated to make it cool instead of making more heat by putting more pressure on the engine, so the engine has to burn more fuel to run both the compressor and run your the wheels on your car too to make it go.
Well, not only that, the electricity that it takes to run the fan that blows the cool air into your deal could be run off the Peltier elements as well.
Yep,
exactly. You could do away with the motor turning the conditioner, and you can do away with the alternator.
All right. Well, you know what? Go ahead, Raymond.
I think that one's going to give your car a lot more power. If you just do away with the alternator, do away with your compressor pump that's run by the motor, run with Thomas said, with an electric motor, and use all the heat, the waste heat, to generate the electricity instead of using the actual engine.
Yep, there's one less belt and one less alternator to run.
Using anything that's going to block the muffler, though, to try to generate electricity off of that flow is actually counterproductive, because that pressure from the catalytic converter is already making your engine work harder than it needs to. So if your engine was running more efficiently, so it was burning everything all the way down to the bare essentials and brass tacks instead of all that gunk that's coming out there, so that you didn't need the catalytic converter, you'd be using a lot less energy there, too.
Yeah.
So I'm saying
try it before you deny it, because if you take and you don't have the actual generator source in the exhaust itself, and all you got is some little turbines in there that are turning some nifty little wheels on bearings and such, and you're not using that to actually drag a direct load, and you're turning that into high voltage as opposed to low voltage with a lot of current watts and amps, then you're taking that high voltage and zapping it over into a bank, which is a piggy bank that you'll use to run to keep your batteries charged.
Right.
So in that sense, you wouldn't be dragging your back pressure down to the point where your engine starts to have to work hard again. Hey, you can throw them out there telling us, I'm going to find a solution.
I'm telling you, man. But it'd be better just to fine-tune that engine so you don't need that catalytic converter at all.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know?
I agree.
Pull everything that's blocking that muffler out of there, and the only resistance you should have in your muffler system is the baffling to keep that bang, 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 bang from the inside your engine from coming right out your tailpipe.
Yeah.
Instead of turning it down to a that most people are used to hearing whenever a car's running, so it's not annoying.
Well, and you know that vibration as well.
And just use the heat. Use the heat like he was talking about, the Peltier elements. If you're going to get your hands on those, you can generate all the power you need off of that.
Yeah.
At 100, Thomas?
You get cut out there?
I've got 100 Peltier devices.
Cool.
Okay.
All right, so, we'll use vibration off the car for piezoelectric, and we use the heat, we use the cool, we use everything under the sun, and then some.
You got to check your thermal resistance, too, though, on those Peltier elements, because there is a limit to the temperature they can handle before they start breaking down and don't work anymore.
Yeah, well, we could also use it to help cool the water down or whatever.
Right, find out what the temperature range is that they operate at first.
Okay, so
there's more ways to generate. It's not it's not hard to generate electricity from heat passing through something. It's actually the Peltier element is actually a much more sophisticated device that's capable of turning forcing heat to go a direction if you apply electricity to it. But you can build a thermocouple system that doesn't have that ability, but it still will work just fine at higher temperatures, like an aluminum and copper junction system, you know.
Sounds good to me. So the first step in this process is to, number one, get that engine to work as efficient as possible.
All right.
And, you know, there is vacuum in there, too, so there ought to be something. I ain't even going to get time to start. Hey, I'm looking at everything, man. It's like being thrifty, you know. Why throw the paper sacks and the plastic bags in the trash that they're just going to clog up the dump and gauze all the trees whenever you can reuse them? So, recycle, recycle.
Or if you're going to throw them out, make sure you put all your trash that you normally put into big trash bags that you buy just to throw stuff out in the bags you're going to throw out anyway. And stop putting the bags that you were going to buy to put the trash in the trash too, along with it all.
Yeah. Help us with this project, that way you can put your light bill in the trash. What do you think?
No, I don't want my light bill in the trash, dude. I don't want to have the light bill. I'd like to just not have one coming anymore.
Look, I want to get...
Somebody else can throw that paper in the trash that they were going to send to me in the mail.
I want to get my very first light bill that says $0.00.
That ain't ever going to happen because they charge you just for being hooked up.
But it'd be nice
to have that electric bill that says you used 0 kilowatts, so you only receive the like $20 surcharge or whatever that they charge you per month.
Yeah.
And maybe after you do that for 6 months, they go, hey, you're eligible for our special low discount because you're a low energy using entity.
You know what they're going to do when you're a low using energy entity is they're going to send the thugs over to find out why it is that you're not using as much electricity as you did before. And then they're going to point at you and try to say, he's stealing electricity, man.
Yeah. That happened to Cluggy. Clugson? James Clugson?
Yeah.
I told you how to solve that problem, man.
Turbine, electricity, the power company came out there. I mean, he was using so little, they came out there and literally searched all over his property to find out how he was stealing electricity. They couldn't believe he could survive on 4 solar panels and 2 small wind turbines.
Alright, so you take 110 volts AC, you run it in through a power supply that'll give you a good DC current, and you make your hydrogen cell, you pump that hydrogen up into the engine, and all you're doing is paying for that one plug.
Wait a minute. You take the hydrogen and you pump water uphill with it without burning the hydrogen. Then you burn the hydrogen to make electricity, and you take the water uphill and let it come down making electricity.
Yeah.
You make twice as much electricity.
A twofer. A twofer.
Right. A twofer.
Well, I was going to say, to explain where you're getting all your electricity from, if they're not going to be able to see where you're getting it from, just get a bunch of plywood and paint solar cells on all of them. Make it look like you got a bunch of solar cells sitting out there. And eight solar cells. I got 50 of them out there. I got so many I had to pay $50 for a permit to put them all out. You got 100
panels on the outside my house. 4,000 watts.
Yeah, I got enough solar cells out there that I arranged them so they actually say something to all the aircraft flying overhead.
You don't want to know
what that is because it's not friendly for being broadcast on TV.
You choked me up, Thomas. And you know what? If the military can do it, so can you. There was a documentary out there where the military was putting cardboard tanks and trucks up in the field to make it look like they had more than they had.
They actually hired not stunt people, but movie set designers to actually do this stuff.
That's brilliant.
I was gonna say, it wasn't Da Vinci involved with building a bunch of cannons made out of plaster and coating them with brass paint so they had more weapons than they actually had?
Oh yeah.
Look at those guys. They're armed to the teeth. Let's get out of here.
Yep. Kept their city safe for one more day.
There you go. We got it solved, folks. Free energy has been proven. It's solved. We're just going to do it. We're gonna do it. That's all there is to it, man.
So it's time to crack that whip?
That's right. This is the project. And we're going to do it right underneath their nose with things that they already got out there and show them how to repurpose what should have been purposed in the beginning. So with that said, you've been listening to Mad Science. You guys got any last... a crazy tune you want to throw like at me on the Skype there, like Like this. Time keeps on slipping, slipping. I got a lot of mileage out of that song there.
That's it, man. You guys are a trip.
Hey, this has been a really fun and informative show, man. And we came up with a brilliant idea in the process. What more brilliance can you get than taking what is already inefficient and making it super efficient to do multitasks, to heat your water, to heat your house, to cool your house, to run your electric, to cooking your food, so on and so forth. There, you know, look, hey, if you was worried about that back pressure on the exhaust, why couldn't you use that exhaust through a little bit longer pipe and run it in through a coil system and you know, cook your biscuits on it?
There you go.
I'm just saying. All right, this ought to be fun, man. We're going to make junkyard wars guys look like, I don't know. What are they going to look like, Raymond? Yeah. All right.
I've got an aluminum siding brick for bending wheel thin metal.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go ahead and make a square tube out of aluminum the size of my Peltier devices. Enough, long enough to put all of them, the whole 100 of them on it. They're 2 inches by 2 inches roughly. So if I make it, say 25, 50 inches long and put 25 on all four sides, that would take care of the 100 Peltier devices.
And also look into what Thomas was talking about, like the max temperature before they fail or become inefficient. Because we already know some of the temperatures that the cars are running at, like anywhere from 180 to 220, I think, somewhere around about on the hottest car.
The Peltier devices I've got, they'll withstand 450 degrees.
Well, then we got it made.
Yep.
We got it made, because if your car's running at 450 degrees,
you
it's not running.
You didn't finish that, man. Maybe because we're not in the shade?
Oh, yeah.
You're supposed to say we got it made in shade.
Hey.
Wait, no shade.
Let's turn that doggone car not only into a generator, but a solar dehydrator as well, man.
You got it.
Let's do it.
Put an umbrella on it so we will be in the shade.
Yep.
Thomas said it himself. If you put a metal roof and you get under it, it's hot. But if you put another one on top of that one, there's a couple of inches difference.
So the air can flow between them and keep that the heat from the first roof from reaching the second roof.
The hot roof is solar panels.
Is this going to be a front wheel drive or a rear wheel drive that we're going to work with?
Yeah, we're going to go with a four wheel.
All right, four wheel drive. That's good. I like that idea. So we'll put it up on blocks. It could be kind of like redneckish, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we'll take four of Muddy's actual flux wind turbines and put them on the where the hubs used to be.
There you go.
I think you need a little more than his wind turbines for that. He's got to build some super duper heavy duty ones.
Well,
otherwise you're going to be wasting your time spinning those around with all that energy that you could be pumping into much bigger, heavier ones.
Well,
you know, he said that he can rewire that axial flux alternator of his to actually act as a motor. So now, why not put one on all four wheels and generate electricity as you're going down the highway? And then when you put it on the brakes, I mean, you use electricity to turn it going down the highway, but when you put it on the brakes, it makes electricity.
Yeah.
And charges your dang old battery.
All right, well, that's been brilliant. I'm going to have to upload this podcast so all the other people out there can get opportunity if they slept in. You should never sleep in during Mad Science, because you could always learn something on this. And maybe even get a laugh or two. Good tickle. So... With that said, I've been trying to close the show down for a bit. You guys got any last words? That was my last mistake.
I will say, I think the end of that that story there was that we're talking about...
Getting your chicks for free. All right, well, guys, it's been brilliant. I've enjoyed this show. And everybody stay tuned for the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. Join in.
Not going to do an overdrive tonight?
No. We're already in. This is the third hour, so We'll
we're already in overdrive.
Yeah, we're already in it. But anyway, it's been brilliant. It's 4th of July. I need to cut this short, so I got some family on the way over there, and we're going to fire off some firecrackers. And
hey, you better hook up some Peltiers though, so you can get some electricity off the firecrackers when they go.
That's my idea.
Hey, the 4th of July firecrackers. I live in a city limits, and I can't fire off fireworks, but I can buy some dry ice and stick it in 2 Lunar Coke bottles. Makes just as much noise.
Yeah, there you go.
So, 2-liter Coke bottle with dry ice in it, you seal it up. When it goes off like a double-barrel shotgun, both barrels at the same time. It is loud.
Yeah, well, there's a will, there's a way. Don't try this at home. We don't want nobody getting hurt. And always practice electrical safety and carbon monoxide safety and government safety. And, you know, just like it's safe if you don't want the government in your house. The government is the only individuals that can walk in your house and literally walk out with your house.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
You want to talk about shoplifting? Let the IRS in your house.
Yeah, they're pretty strong. They can come in and lift them shops all day long.
That's right. Frisk them down on the way out, because I guarantee you they got your DVD player and your kid's PlayStation.
Shoot, they're walking out the door with your kids.
And your wallet. Yeah, they got your kids too.
Hey, one under each arm.
They need some slave labor.
I got 2 teenagers they can have. I'll pay them.
Take them. All right, everybody. You've been listening to Mad Science. Hope you enjoyed the show, everybody. Take care. Stay tuned. And keep your eyes open, because we got our project now. It's going to be fun. Y'all take care. Peace and love, everybody.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.